97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Welcome in on a Wednesday morning. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Mark. That's Kim St. Ange down there. Carl Middleman in here as well. We're happy that you're with us this morning. If you missed it a little earlier, at the top of the last hour at 7, we had a chance to talk to Kurt Barr, the Director of Elections out in St. Charles County, talking about early voting, you know, where you can show up in person and vote absentee without an excuse. And they had long lines out there yesterday. They have two polling locations. And he kind of explained how they're changing things up today. And he's not expecting those same problems. So feel free to go back and listen to that. It'll be up on the podcast, or you can hit rewind on the Odyssey app if you'd like to. Of course, we're covering that because we've just learned that St. Louis County had about 30,000 absentee votes so far, maybe 35,000, 36,000, if you add them up, right? 15,000 voted in person yesterday on the first day of in-person voting. But we know how Missouri's going to go. Missouri's a red state. What's going to happen in some of these swing states like Georgia? And that's where my friend Jonathan Sary with the Fox News Channel is down there reporting on all that this morning. Jonathan, how are you?
Hey, doing well, Mark. Always good to be with you.
Yeah, it's good to have you, my friend. What's it looking like? I mean, I've heard reports from some other states. I think Pennsylvania is one of them, where early voting has shown that Republicans are turning out in greater numbers this year.
Yeah, early voting is huge here in Georgia. Already more than 1.9 million Georgians have already cast ballots. That's nearly 27% of active voters. The problem with figuring out who's ahead in Georgia is this state does not require advance party registration. It's an open primary, and anecdotally, you'll have some Democrats who will vote in the Republican primary because they want to influence the election, and you'll have some Republicans, people who lean Republican, voting in the Democrat primary for the same reasons. And so you don't have a clear indication of who's ahead. All it tells you is that many Georgians are comfortable with their decisions. There aren't going to be any October surprises for them, and they are ready to cast early ballots. Now, that 1.9 million figure, that's more than double the figure this time in the election cycle back in 2020 during the previous presidential election. So there is a lot of interest in early voting, Mark.
I know you've been probably running around trying to cover this story, but I'm curious if you've had a chance to speak to any voters, because you hear about these people who are supposedly undecided, and then you hear about the issues that are most likely to drive people to the polls, like the economy, for example. Have you had a chance to actually speak to some of the reporters there in Georgia? Or I'm sorry, the voters, rather?
Yeah, in fact, when I was standing in line to vote, I came during lunch break in DeKalb County, and there was a very long line because everyone else had the same idea. I'm going to vote during my lunch break, so it took me about 55 minutes. There were two older voters behind me, and they were talking to each other and remarking about the lines, how long it was taking, and then one of the voters said to the other, "Yes, but the important thing is here, and we are casting our ballots." So there is a lot of enthusiasm. Now, as far as where voters are leaning, as you can imagine, like anywhere else in the U.S., it's highly polarized by geography. And so when you're here in Metro Atlanta, right now I'm in Decatur, which is in DeKalb County, very blue in Metro Atlanta. You go outside the perimeter, you start seeing more Republican signs, more Trump signs. And then when you go into the rural areas, it's all Trump. And so really what voters are saying depends on where you are. If you live in Atlanta, all you're going to see is Kamala Harris streets, yard signs. But if you're out in the country, you're pretty much only going to see Trump signs, and you're going to hear from voters exactly what you would expect. But universally, whether you're liberal or conservative, there's a lot of concern about election integrity.
Yes.
You have the liberals worried about what they call Jim Crow 2.0, new Republican election laws that they believe are unfair. But then you have the Republicans worried about stolen elections and election integrity. And so you're going to hear very similar conversations, but coming from very different directions, depending on what part of the state you're in when you talk to voters.
So nobody's handing out any Warnock water in line these days, right?
No, that is banned under new election laws that went into effect after the last election cycle. You cannot hand out water to the voters. The only contact can be from actual election workers. The other thing that's changed is the absentee ballot drop boxes, which became very popular during the pandemic. In fact, it was the way many people were voting, and you could drive up. The drop box would be 24/7 in the parking lot outside of the election headquarters. Now they have to be kept inside the voting locations, very specific voting locations, or at the election headquarters, and only accessible during operating hours. The idea being you want to monitor who's actually dropping ballots off in that box, and it's limited to very specific family members, whether you're a spouse, a parent, or a child. And when I voted in person, but my wife and son cast absentee ballots. And when I dropped it off, they checked my ID and they asked my relationship to the people who were submitting those ballots. So they really are doing their due diligence here.
That is good news. Jonathan, always great having you on, my friend. Thank you.
My pleasure, Mark.
All right. Talk soon. Jonathan Sarri there, reporting down live in Atlanta. Jonathan and I worked together for about 3 years when we both worked in the upstate of South Carolina, WYFF-TV in Greenville.
That's how it is. You know, you work with these reporters and then they make it to the network.
They make it big. Yeah, I love Jonathan's great guy.
To comment on something that he mentioned, I mean, that's great that when he dropped off his, I guess it was his son, his wife's ballots, that they asked for his ID and his relationship. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a step up from what it was.
Big step.
But maybe I'm just a cynic, but I'm thinking, well, how hard would it be for me to, for example, drop yours off, Mark? And I'm like, oh, well, he's my uncle or whatever. You know, like what stops?
At least you didn't say dad or grandpa.
Well, I actually was really careful on the wording there. Grandpa? Come on now. I know you're a little older than me, Mark, but I don't think you could be my grandpa. Now, Mark is... I'm not going to say your age.
No, come on, no. So anyway, to your point, yeah, you're right. But if you watch 2000 Mules, some of that video took place on the outskirts of Atlanta, Georgia, where people were driving up to these drop boxes in the dead of the night.
2 a.m., yes.
With stacks of ballots with rubber gloves on and shoving them in this box. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever investigated it. Nobody ever seemed to care that just lent itself to fraud. So I'm thrilled to find out that they asked for Jonathan's ID.
Yep.
That's great. I mean, that ought to cut down on the possibility for fraud hugely. Huge. It's going to be
bigly.
Huge. It's bigly. Be big. Bigly. For sure.
Get more at 971talk.com.